reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text number 4. Navayam tvamai rai daichai. Navayam tvamarai daichai. Siddha Gandhava Charanai. Siddha Gandhava Charanai. Naspriṣṭhā purvam janimo. Naspriṣṭhā purvam janimo. Lokeśaśca kuto nibri. Lokeśaśca kuto nibri. Translation. What to speak of human beings, even the demigods, demons, siddhas, gandhavas, charanas, and the various directors of the universe, prajapatis, have never touched you before. It is not that we are unable to understand your identity. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. Even the Asuras observe the etiquette that no one should address a married woman with lust. The great analyst Chanaka Pandit says, Matritvat param deveshu, one should consider another's wife to be one's mother. The Asuras, the demons, took it for granted that the beautiful young woman, Mohini Murti, who had arrived before them, was certainly not married. Therefore, they assumed that no one in the world, including the demigods, the Gandhavas, the Charanas, the Siddhas, had ever touched her. The demons knew that the young girl was unmarried, and therefore they dared to address her. They supposed that the young girl, Mohini Murti, who wasn't a demon, had come there to find a husband among all those present, the Daichas, the demigods, the Gandhavas, and so on. So I'd just like to start by reciting some nice verses in glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam by Sanatana Goswami. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned by the ocean of all Vedic literatures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all philosophical, spiritual conclusions, O you who can grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnav devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna, who has returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. Grantad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is no ordinary literature. Just by reciting Bhagavatam, all auspiciousness is there. The materialists engage in so much activity. I was just watching the young boys tying up the tarpaulin that you have every Sunday here to keep the sun off. So they were working very hard, enjoying actually, they're having fun. So they pulled this last cord, and there were seven of them pulling the cord, and then they were laughing and having a good time. And then the rope snapped and everything fell. Well, not everything, but that rope fell. So the materialists, not that they're necessarily big materialists, but all the activity that they engage in is completely, ultimately useless. There's no activity. Any activities they perform are ultimately worthless. But this Bhagavatam, just by hearing, just by speaking, just by trying to live this Bhagavatam, all auspiciousness is there. And ultimately this Bhagavatam will take us back home, back to Godhead. So here we have a situation with Krishna appears in a very unusual form as Mohini Murti to bewilder the demons. So, what is a demon? Ishvaro aham bhogi. This is the definition given. The demon is one who's thinking, everything is for me. I am the Lord. I am the enjoyer of everything. Whereas the Vaishnava is thinking, everything is there for me, an opportunity for me to serve Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas. So this is the difference in mentality. So here the daityas, the demons, are very cleverly deluded by Krishna. So he comes in the form of a beautiful woman and he says, just you sit here quietly and I will go and deal with the demigods, because you are so much more patient than the demigods. I will feed the demigods first and then I will give you. The demigods cannot wait, they are too impatient. So then the demons, they think, yeah, okay, no problem. So they're very easily tricked. So how is it that these intelligent people, very intelligent, were tricked so easily? Because this maya, this illusion, is more powerful. That this Dharatyaya, this is very difficult to overcome. So Krishna is very difficult to overcome. He is impossible to overcome. Only by his grace can we overcome his energy. So this desire to be the Lord and master of everything we survey is the nature of a demon. So when we're in that mentality, we can be tricked very easily. How many businessmen have invested millions and millions of, crores and crores of rupees in an investment, and because of some greed, they've been tricked and they lose all their money. So this is the nature of a demon. So here, the demon, even the asuras observe the etiquette that no one should address a married woman with lust. So one could take that as being a married woman. No one should approach a married woman, but there's a couple of words here which are described with lust. So this is a Ishvaro aham bhogi. This lust is what shouldn't be approached with. We shouldn't approach, and that lust is I want to enjoy. This is for me. Just like back to an old Thakur, he sings Manasa Deho Geho Yokitumo Apila Duapadi Nandakisho. Nandakisho, everything is yours. My house, my wife, my children, everything is yours. So this is a devotee. He sees everything as Krishna's. But the demon sees everything is for me to enjoy. So this here, it's stated, Prabhupada states, one should never address a married woman with lust. So it is not that you can't speak to a woman. In fact, when I do Sankirtan in the West, if I didn't speak to a woman, I wouldn't speak to many people during the day. Because it's only the women that go out shopping. The men are normally working. So on the street, Sankirtan. So is it a woman that we're speaking to? Is it a woman we're speaking to? If we are Ishvaro aham bhogi, then it is a woman. Because this is an object for me to enjoy and look at, see beauty, see smiling face, so many things for me to enjoy. But if we are devotee, what do we see? We see a spirit soul. We see a jiva wandering after millions and millions of births in the material world. And we think, what can we do for this jiva? There's one nice story Srila Prabhupada tells. Well, Srila Prabhupada doesn't tell. Nara Narayan tells, one devotee Srila Prabhupada, he tells. So he was with Prabhupada for the first time in alone with Prabhupada. You can imagine, he was describing how he was a little bit into psychedelics and taking drugs and hallucinating and doing so many things like everyone was doing in those days. So first time he was with Prabhupada, and he was still coming off the chemicals, he describes. So he's alone with Prabhupada, and he doesn't quite know what to do or what to say. So then Somehow or other, he can't remember how, he was on the other side of the desk, and then Prabhupada was on the, so they changed around, and so he was feeling very uneasy, you know. So then Prabhupada said, he pointed to the, he had this little desk in front of him, he pointed to the desk and said, "You see this ant?" So the devotee said, "Yeah," which is a combination of yes and no, because he didn't see the ant. But it, Prabhupada was saying there was an ant. So he went, "Nya." There was no ant. He couldn't see an ant. He describes he was a little bit hard of hearing. At that time, he didn't have a hearing aid. So, and Prabhupada's heavy accent, he couldn't understand what Prabhupada, so he was straining, you know. So what can we do for that ant? So then he was really bewildered because, first of all, he couldn't see an ant. Then he had to do something with this ant that he didn't know whether it was there or not. So then he, I don't know, Prabhupada. He said, "We can chant Hare Krishna, or we can give him a little prasadam." So then he realized Prabhupada was making a very clever analogy, that actually this fictitious ant, we can only do two things for this ant. We can give it prasadam, we can chant Hare Krishna. So when you see on Sankirtan, or when you're preaching, a woman or a man, or if you're in a woman's body, a man, or if you're in a young body, an old person who's looks terrifying because he's old and he's wise and we're just young. I remember when I first started, I was 20. So I, whenever I approached someone who was 50 or 60, I was very frightened. This is an old man and he might chastise me. So what do we see? We see the body, Ishvaro aham bhogi, or do we see the Atma? So this is the difference between the devotee and the demon. The demon sees, because fear, attachment, means there's fear there as well. Because we want something from that person. We want to enjoy with that person. It means if we don't enjoy, then there's fear that we won't enjoy. But a devotee is fearless because he's not attached. He just approaches that person and says, "Excuse me, sir, you're looking well. Have you been sick?" Or whatever you say to approach people and catch their attention. That normally catches people's attention because they're like, "You're looking well. Have you been?" So, and then we try and engage them in the Lord's service. So we don't see the body, the external body, because we're not trying to enjoy that body. We're trying to serve Krishna and we're trying to serve that soul, that person, that jiva. So we don't see the external body. We see just soul to soul. And what relation do we have with them? We're brother. We have Bhagavan is our Pita. Our father, and we have a relationship. So many situations on Sankirtan, people meet you and you spend a minute with them and you say, and they say, "I feel like you feel like an old friend. I feel like I've known you for years. I've only met you for a minute." Because they experience that exchange on a real platform. They've never experienced that change, that exchange on a real platform in their life before. And the devotee speaks to them on the genuine platform and they immediately, they become amazed that a devotee is their intimate friend immediately, within a minute. But we have to come off the platform that this is a woman, this is man, this is old, this is young, this is Indian, this is English, this is American, this is Swedish. Thank you. We have to come off this platform and understand we're spirit soul. Everyone is spirit soul. So when Prabhupada preached, "We're not the body," there was a meaning to this. It wasn't just an indoctrination, aham brahmastami. It was actually to show us that this basic point, that we're not the body, is a fundamental principle. But it's not just a fundamental principle. It's the conclusion of our philosophy, that we're spirit soul. And if we deal with each other as spirit souls, then this should address a married woman with lust. Sorry, one should. Yeah. That one should not approach with this lust, this enjoying spirit. So this enjoying spirit is the spirit that binds us to this material world. Karma chakra, this cycle of birth and death. The reason we are bound is because of this enjoying spirit. And this enjoying spirit, if we're free of, then we see everyone as spirit soul. So one should consider another's wife to be one's mother, Chanaka Pandit states. Why? As one's mother. Does anyone know? Because the mother is not an object of lust. That is why. So this Ishvaro Aham is not there. Because the mother is mother. My mother. My mothers. I have a few mothers here today. So these are mother. In fact, there's one nice devotee. He's a Gaudiya Vaishnav. Name's Puri Maharaj. He was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So then he was a guru and had many disciples. So one lady came to him. And the lady was about 18 or 19 or 20 at the most. Maybe 25 at the most. I'm not sure. She was a young lady. So he was 98. I think he lived to 100, 101. One or two of the devotees will know him. Puri Maharaj in Navadvip. So then this lady came to him and wanted diksha. So he knew her, so he gave her diksha. So his comment was at initiation was, so how does it feel to have a 98-year-old son? She was only 25. So she laughed. So she understood that his vision was, this is my mother, because that mother, that is respect. There's no lust involved. It's just, this is my mother. So higher than that concept of mother is actually the concept of the spirit soul. Because this freedom from lust makes us see on the spiritual platform. We're all 1/10,000. I may be sitting here on the Bhagavatam seat, and you may be sitting there. But I'm 1/10,000 the size of a tip of a hair, and everyone else is here, including the ants, the blades of grass, everything. So if we see on that platform, then we are free of pratistha. We can hear people because they have as much right to speak as we do. It may be my turn here, but most of the time I'm sitting here. So this understanding, there's one very nice article I read just recently in a newspaper, which I don't generally read, but I do read from time to time. And it was called Derailers, and it analyzed these CEOs who go to companies and they get paid a fortune and they do all these dynamic changes and they change everything around and they make everything more efficient and they, what is the word, optimize the company. So with the credit crunch, they were trying to analyze so many of these CEOs have gone around and destroyed companies. So what are the symptoms of a destructive CEO? They call them derailers. They derail the train. Just like I was here a month ago and there was some accident on the train and the driver was killed. They had to, unfortunately, saw off his arm and then he died. He died afterwards from shock, yeah. So these people are derailing companies. And they point out 7 or 8, I don't exactly remember exactly how many bad qualities they have. But 2 of the qualities of these derailers, where they get swept up in their ego and their pride, another symptom, one of the first symptoms in Bhagavad Gita described demoniac nature, is conceit is the first, pride, conceit, those 2 words are used in Bhagavad Gita. So there, these 8 symptoms, the first 2 was pride and conceit. So they can't listen, they can't hear. So this is the nature of someone who has pratistha, who is a demon, actually. When we read the Bhagavatam, or when we consider ourselves as devotees, and we look outside and we think of non-devotees, what we really have to do is look outside and see these non-devotees have so many demoniac qualities. Actually, I have similar. I have the same qualities. I have the same tendencies. I have the same attachments. But just maybe to a less degree, or maybe even a more degree. So we can analyze the philosophy, not them, you know, all this lot, that lot. They all have these problems. But actually, I have these problems. And by working on myself, I can understand how to overcome these problems in myself. And then when I've overcome these problems in myself, I can help others overcome their problems because I know what it takes. If you haven't overcome these problems yourself, then you can't help others. So the science of self-realization means the science of self-realization. We understand where we're at, and then in that way we have the tools to help others overcome their attachments. So it's not the philosophy, the Bhagavatam is there and I'm here and it's nice. And it's nice reading and I feel pleasure when I hear it. But it's actually something to apply to our own lives. It's not applicable to everyone else. It's actually how we're applying it to ourselves. So one devotee once, he said, we look at the philosophy of how everyone else is far away from the philosophy. We criticize the material mind, criticize everyone else is a long way off from this philosophy. And then we look at ourselves and we think, oh, I've come so far out of my illusion and now I'm nicely situated. Rather than the other way around. So as that story you know about Maharaj Yudhishthira and Duryodhana, they were sent away to find the... Duryodhana was sent away to find a person better than him? Or was it the other way around? Anyway, Maharaj Yudhishthira came back and said he couldn't find anyone worse than him, and Duryodhana couldn't find anyone better than him. So this is the difference in nature between the demons and the devotees. So here we have the demons looking at Mahini Murti with lust. So it's not that we can't speak to a woman, but we can't speak to a woman with lust. If we see a woman as a woman, then that's lust immediately before we've started speaking to them. We see a woman as a spirit soul. The woman sees a man as a spirit soul. We see each other as servants of Krishna. And how are we going to serve Krishna together? So here we have a nice illustration. These are categorized as demons. In Kali Yuga, then we have a combination within our own hearts of demon and devotee. But in previous yugas, it was very clear. There was demigods and there was devotees. Sorry, there was demigods and there was demons. So, I'll carry on with the purport. The Asuras, the demons, took it for granted that the beautiful young woman, Mohini Murti, who had arrived before them, was certainly not married. Here we go. They took it for granted. This is again, Ishvaro, Aham, Aham, Bogi. They immediately took it for granted. Ah, she's obviously not married. Immediately, they're thinking in that way, demoniac way. They didn't know. Maybe she didn't have a bindi, but you know, they don't know. But they just took it for granted. Ah, she's not married. The lust is there, so immediately they want to enjoy. And even if she is married, then maybe the husband is weaker than me and I can fight. We see with Ravan and Indra some of their pastimes. They overcome with lust very easily. So they assumed, Prabhupada said, they took it for granted. I think, is it Prabhupada, he said, speculation is 90% error. So they took it for granted. Therefore, they assumed that no one in the world, including the demigods, Gandharvas, Charanas, and Siddhas, had ever touched her. The demons knew that the beautiful young girl was unmarried, and therefore they dared to address her. They supposed that the young girl, Mahini Murti, had come there to find a husband amongst those present. Obviously, she'd come to find a husband because I'm here. And all of us are here. So they've come because we are the most eligible bachelors in the universe. She's obviously come to seek my hand in marriage. So this is again this nature, this demoniac nature. So again, we have to try and understand that we transfer the philosophy not to everyone else, but to ourselves. So what within us, what within our own lives, can we see that we are maintaining some enjoying spirit? Do we allow the wife to run around and do everything for us, and we don't reciprocate by helping in different ways or doing different things or trying to help her in her Krishna consciousness? Or anyway, there's so many things which we may also show that we are using. We are not understanding the philosophy. We're not applying the philosophy in our own lives. It's very subtle. We see so many sadhus. We see Srila Prabhupada, a perfect example. We see devotees like Radhanath Maharaj who are constantly checking and being introspective to make sure they're not going from that path of divine path to the demoniac path of how can I be served rather than how can I serve. This is another nice situation. When we have a position in life, then we can use that position in two ways. We can use that position to lord it over, to become the controller. I'm the temple president. I'm the regional secretary. I've been in the movement years. I have a Brahmin thread. I'm a devotee. I have a spiritual name. I'm in charge of pujari. I'm in charge of the dishes to wash. Those are my dishes. Don't touch them. It's my service. So it can go right the way up. And the materialist we see very clearly when you see a materialist. Like, well, I don't watch television very often. And every now and then I watch a politician make a speech. I watched one politician who was in England. His name's Tony Blair. He was giving a speech. And I never heard him speak before. And he'd been in power 2 or 3 years. And he gave the speech and it was so laced with pride. Even when you don't watch television at all and you watch it from time to time, just the way they present things, you can feel the pride and the speculation. So this is all this demoniac nature, because they're not actually working on themselves. They're not trying to purify themselves. They don't understand that at the end of this life, everything is finished. No matter how much money, whatever position, how many followers, how much respect, how much power they attain, it's all taken like that. But the devotee understands whatever power, whatever position, whatever followers I have, it's all to be used in Krishna's service. How can I engage these people in Krishna's service? How can I inspire these people in Krishna's service? How can I look after these people in devotional service? How can I provide for them materially, spiritually, mentally, emotionally? How can I help these people? This is the difference. And we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, he came 70 years old, an old man. At the fag end of his life, he said. And what did he do? He just came here for us. He came to the West for us. He came and preached Krishna consciousness for us. He wasn't interested in position. He had 10,000 followers. He wasn't interested in exploiting one of them. He was simply there to serve each other. So if we can learn this ability to not become the enjoyers and the controllers and not to use this material world for our enjoyment, but use this material world and any power that we have to serve, not just the Vaishnavas, but to serve the non-Vaishnavas. And how do we serve them? We serve them by trying to encourage them to take up Krishna consciousness. And how do we serve the Vaishnavas? By encouraging them to take up Krishna consciousness. So the mission is the same, but just like it says in Bhagavad Gita, none so dear as those who preach to my devotees. So has anyone ever thought, how come Krishna says to preach to my devotees, bhakteshu? He says, my devotees, bhakteshu. So I wondered for a long time. So Prabhupada in one lecture very nicely states, you can't preach to a jnani or a kami or a yogi. You can't preach. No, you can't preach. We preach all the time to the karmas. Everyone tells us, preach, 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 preach. Preaching is the essence. Purity is the force. Books are the basis. Let's deliver the message to the devoted, to the non-devotees. Prabhupada turns around and says, no, we can't preach to the non-devotees. He says, because bhakti mama bhajananti, that Krishna can only be known through devotional service. So you have to become bhakta. You have to become bhakta before you can preach. So it's only to those devotees, you can only, none so dear as those to preach to my devotees. So he says, we have to make all the karmas, the yogis, the non-devotees into devotees first, and then we can preach them. So Prabhupada says, it's actually here in Mumbai, sorry to mention the name, Juhu Temple. So here in Mumbai, Prabhupada, on January the 7th, 1975, he says that this preaching to the devotee is as important as preaching, as important to bringing people into the movement. So he uses an expression which is very cute in English. It's not actually correct English, it's completely wrong, but Prabhupada used to use these words completely correctly, but it's not actually a rule, and it's actually not outside the rules of the English language. He says, the spiritual master has very double task. Very double task. So he has a dual task, has two tasks. One is to make devotees, and then bhakteshu, to preach to the devotees. So here we're all devotees. Well, you are devotees. Then so we preach to each other. We encourage each other in our devotional service. How are you, Prabhu? How's everything at home? Everything's okay? Anything I can do to serve you? Well, Prabhu, everything's fine, but I'm just a little bit, you know, I'm working so hard and it's no time for japa, and when I get home I'm exhausted and I'm just wondering what to do. And oh, Prabhu, yeah, it's not easy. What are your hours? Oh, I have to leave at 7:30 in the morning. I get back at 9:30 at night, and then it's just so difficult. So then, in that way, that's not maybe not preaching directly to a devotee, but we're supporting, we're showing our empathy, we're showing our support to that person. And he may have a day off. We can spend some time with that devotee. We can encourage that devotee. It doesn't have to be, you know, an official program. Sorry, Prabhu, can't talk to you. Program's next Friday. 7 o'clock, can't talk to you until then. No, we can spend time. We can phone him up at work, see how he is, encourage him, maybe offer some practical help. In this way, preaching to the devotee means creating a community of Vaishnavas that feel interdependent, that feel supported, that feel encouraged. So Sadhu Sangha is a basis of that, but also we can deepen our abilities and our concern for the devotees. It's actually unlimited. Krishna's unlimited. So we can help each other more and more. And what is the most pleasing thing for Krishna? Those who preach to my devotees. So we're doing the most pleasing thing. I mean, personally, I've been a book distributor for many, many years. So we bring people to the movement with books. I go out and traveling Sangatan. And then I come back every 2 weeks and I see, oh, there's some new faces. They've come. They've got a book. They read. They went to Nam Hat. They became convinced in Krishna consciousness. And they joined. Fantastic. So I'd spend half an hour with them, ask them where they're from, how they came to the devotional service. So many nice stories. My favorite story is one young boy. He was 16. It's not such a dynamic story, but it just I find it very nice. He was 16 and he's praying one night at the bottom of his bed. In Christian countries, sometimes the young boys, you know, they pray at the bottom of their bed, right? To God, please God. He prayed, he's 16. He's praying, God, if you're there, please give me a sign. Please show yourself to me. This is his prayer. Please show yourself to me. Somehow or other, show yourself to me. So the next day, he went out and he went to a rock festival, which is complete maya. So he met a devotee and he got a book called Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his prayer was, please show yourself to me. So he got Krishna, the Supreme, and all the pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna showed himself very fully by the mercy Srila Prabhupada had to him. So this preaching has a dual role. So when people come, they join like that, and then I was going out with Sankirtan again, and I come back, and another 2 weeks come back, and devotee looked a little bit, you know, so I'd spend a bit of time with him and encourage him and try and show some support to him and give him some positive things that he can do to help him in his spiritual life. And then I come back another 2 weeks, and he'd gone. And I think, oh, where's he gone? So it's not just important to make the devotees. It's important to look after the devotees and really encourage devotees in their devotional service. So this is, as Prabhupada said, very double task. To give Krishna consciousness to everyone, to give her an opportunity to become a devotee. A devotee is someone who's convinced of Krishna consciousness. And then when they're convinced, we have to spend time, energy, looking after them, cultivating them. Encourage them. And there's no pratistha involved, generally speaking, in this. There's no real, you don't get any glorification. You spend hours and hours with someone. There's no Sangatan school. No one stands up in the morning and says, Damodar Prabhu spent 12 hours encouraging someone yesterday. Damodar Prabhu ki jai. No, he didn't distribute any books. But he just encouraged someone for 12 hours. But who does see? Huh? Who does see? Huh? Krishna sees. So within your heart, you know that Krishna's pleased. You may not get any reward, any fame, but Krishna sees. So this community of Vaishnavas here, you're all Vaishnavas here, there's probably only one or two new people here. And I know in your Sunday program you stand everyone up who's new, and sometimes it's only 10 or 12. So everyone here is a devotee. So amongst us all, men, women, spirit souls and spirit souls, amongst us all, we can understand this principle of really looking after each other, Even more, everyone is doing to some degree anyway, but even more. And then this nectar, as they churn the ocean of nectar, we can churn the nectar of this sadhu sangha, and in that way become thicker in our association and more loving in our association, based on spiritual principles, based on Shravanam Kirtu Vishnu Smaranam, and based on revealing our mind in confidence, which is one of the six loving exchanges with the Vaishnavas. One of the most important aspects of that is integrity. That if we can develop integrity amongst each other, and love and trust, as Prabhupada said, love and trust, then the whole community here is already wonderfully situated, but we can all be more wonderfully situated. And then if we're even more wonderfully situated, then what's Krishna going to do? He's going to send more people, because they're going to get looked after. And Krishna's no fool. He knows. If there's a situation where people are going to be looked after, he's going to send millions of people. Because he knows everything. So the more we provide a situation for people, by our own personal endeavors, with our own hearts and minds, the more he's going to send people. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. If there's any questions or comments.
I was wondering, thank you so much for that class. It was so encouraging to the heart. I was wondering, when we want to see each other on the highest platform, but many times our conditioning is very strong. You know, so it's a real battle. You know, we're engaging and, you know, it's... So do you have something you can offer? Because we want to follow the process. We want to see each other on the highest platform, but sometimes the conditioning is so very, very strong, and sometimes after that anger comes, and you know what I'm asking, I think. Yeah.
That's the battle of life. I read something nice when I joined, which was very encouraging for me. I can't remember the exact words, but Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is the process of becoming Krishna conscious. But it takes a lifetime of practice. So the goal is to be free from anger, free from lust, free from this, be pure and Krishna prema. But that's a battle. That's a battle that we all have, our self-responsibility, that we all have a responsibility to fight ourselves. And we win a lot of battles, we lose a lot of battles, but we still can win the war. So when we lose a battle, we think, oh, it's the end. I might as well bloop now. I might as well leave the association of devotees. I'm not worth anything. I can't do anything. But actually, the war is never lost, because Krishna is the charioteer, and he can make the worst archer still win. Although Arjuna was the best, well, apart from Ekalabhya. But Krishna can make any arrangements for us at any time. The only thing we only have control of one thing, just like the demon here. He's thinking he can control so many things. He wants to enjoy and control. We have control of just one thing in our life. Does anyone know what that is? Just one thing we have control of. Desire. That's the only thing we have. We can only desire. And if we don't have a desire, what can we do? We can only desire to have a desire. And if we don't have a desire to have a desire, then we can only have a desire to have a desire to have a desire. And if we don't have a desire to... So whatever we do, we just pray to Krishna, we remain positive, and we just beg for a desire to do the right thing, to behave in the correct way, to try and free ourselves. And one of the most important parts, actually one devotee called Yogeshwar Prabhu, who's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, explained to Prabhupada in a letter that he wrote to Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, the association of my godbrothers have been so valuable to me. So Prabhupada wrote back a letter explaining that actually, although chanting Hare Krishna is our highest principle, it's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and chanting Hare Krishna is our main principle. But he said even more important than chanting Hare Krishna is association of the Vaishnavas, because without the association of the Vaishnavas, you won't continue your chanting. So these six loving exchanges between Vaishnavas, revealing mind in confidence, giving prasad. What's the other one? Yeah, revealing mind in confidence. Yeah. Gifts. Thank you. You just gave me the gift of the right answer. Thank you. So I'm giving and receiving gifts. So these principles are the basis of our loving exchange. So revealing mind in confidence is a huge, huge asset to have people. Even one person, even two people, or even one is enough that you can really sit down with and discuss, open your heart and discuss Krishna consciousness with. It's such a blessing. So association is very important. And that'll give us strength. Everyone knows the example of one stick and many sticks. So association and chanting. And all the process, all the angas of devotional service. But association, Yogeshwar Prabhu was explaining what is the most important principle of devotional service. And that association gives us the strength to carry on. We have to learn actually to receive as well as to give. So giving, to receive people's loving exchanges, to receive gifts, to receive prasadam, to hear people. We have to learn how to receive as well as to give. A lot of devotees, especially the many devotees who were in the hippie era, they were there and they were saving the world, running around, and we're going to change the world. But actually we have to change ourselves as well. And actually, primarily, we have to change ourselves. And then, by our change of heart, we can change the heart of others. So we can't forget that working on ourselves is actually the... An example given, Rameshwar Prabhu, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying, we've distributed so many Bhagavad Gitas, so many Srimad Bhagavatams in English. We've done so many in French, so many in German, so many in Marathi, so many in Hindi, so many in... Gujarati, so many Telugu. So anyway, listed 60 million books. So Prabhupada wrote a letter back and said, it is very nice you've done this in English, you've done this in French, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this. But most of all, we have to save ourselves. So this is the point where selfishness and selflessness meet. That we have to look after ourselves first. Because by looking after ourselves, we can help so many other people. Without looking after ourselves, then people go. Ado Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. So Bhajana Kriya. Kriya, activity, bhajan. So without the bhajan, then the Kriya disappears. So we see, especially in the other side of the world, many devotees are very enthusiastic to distribute books and do so much preaching, but they're not here anymore. What did Prabhupada say? Yes, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. But you have to read them. So we have to read and understand ourselves. So we keep trying to be Krishna conscious ourselves. And we never let a small failure. Just like if you... We used to have these Maha Prasadam fights in the temple I was at in Scotland. So we used to have bowls of cream and fruits and different hard things, apples and things. And we used to have, we were young brahmacharis, we were all in our 20s. So our spiritual authority used to throw Mahaprasadam at us and we used to catch it. And we used to fight. We were young and passionate, so it was nice to have a fight. You know, Krishna likes to fight, doesn't he? So we used to fight over Mahaprasadam. So we dovetailed that propensity. So... if you fell over in a Maha fight, then you got back up and you started fighting again. You didn't just stay down. So in the same way, when we have some slip in devotional service, we get back up and we carry on in our devotional service. Just as the ground is the support for someone who slipped, so that same ground is someone who, the ground, anyway, it's the same support, the ground is the same support for that person. So we get back up and we try again. And we try again, and we try again, and we try again. And what happens? We fail again and again and again. And what did Prabhupada say? You stop making mistakes by gaining experience. And you gain experience by making mistakes. But it's when you don't do anything, this is where you get tricked by Maya. It's when you don't do anything. When you sit on the fence, I'm not doing anything, I'm not making any mistakes. Like, I don't go out on book distribution. So I never failed. I went out on book distribution and I failed. You didn't fail. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. Just by thinking of going out and doing some preaching. It doesn't matter, book distribution, prasadam distribution, preaching, going to the temple. You know, just by thinking of going to the temple, you win. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. And then you go to the temple, you win more. You arrive at the temple, you win more. You chant Hare Krishna, you win more. You take prasadam, you... It's a win-win. You know they have this win-win? So it's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win. And then eventually you win by going back home back to Godhead. So you can't lose in devotional service. So if you fail, it's not a failure. It's just a learning experience. Prabhupada said, make the same mistake once, no problem. You can make as many mistakes as you want once. But try not to make the same mistake over and over again. So we can make mistakes. If we don't act, we don't make mistakes. So don't be worried not to act. And don't be worried not to make mistakes. We just try our hardest and we keep endeavoring. And what does Krishna say? Does he say, in this result, there's no loss or diminution? Does anyone know that sloka in Bhagavad Gita? In this result, there's no loss? Anyone know that sloka in Bhagavad Gita? In this result, there's no loss or diminution? So what is the translation? In this result, there's no loss or diminution. Is that right? In this result? Ah, endeavor. Krishna says, in this endeavor. So it's not the result. There's no sloka saying in this result. It was a trick question. It says, in this endeavor, there's no loss. So all we can do is endeavor. Krishna doesn't say in this result. I tricked you, sorry. So it's this endeavor. And what does Krishna say? Strive for yoga, Arjuna, which is the art of all works. Strive. We've just got to strive. We've just got to try. It's like japa. Everyone's experience. And then the mind says, oh, I'm not hearing anything. This is terrible. But Krishna says in this endeavor, not the result. The result is, for in our mind, we have to chant nicely, attentively, and really fix our mind. Hare Krishna, Hare. I have the mic to support me. So he doesn't say, so we're chanting japa, and we're thinking the result is I have to hear nicely. And then if we don't hear nicely, we become despondent. Isn't it? Everyone's had that experience? But rather than thinking, in this endeavor, I'm just keep trying. And I know myself that when you chant, even if it's terrible, if you've really tried hard, by the time you've done a few rounds, you start feeling blissful because you're trying. And Maya's trick is we stop trying. That's Maya's trick. We stop trying. But we keep trying, we keep trying, we keep trying. And then we get this taste, even if we're not proficient, even if we're not good. I remember going out on Sangatam once in the UK. It was about this time of year, and it was a blizzard. It was a blizzard. You know a snow blizzard? It's like minus 15. There's a blizzard. It's just ridiculous. I mean, anyone has to be mad to go out on Sangatam. It's just crazy. There's no one on the street. There's no one there. It's a blizzard. There's no one. I know my mind was saying, what am I doing? This is just ridiculous. So it was in a place called Stirling, and it was a blizzard. It was ridiculous. But I went out, and I did 4 or 5 hours Sangatan, and I felt so incredibly blissful because I tried. The whole situation, like it says in Bhagavad Gita, the devotee isn't dependent on the situation. It was so ridiculous, but I tried. Krishna just gave me a taste. And we experienced so many times when I was doing Sangatan, I was locked up in prison many, many times because years ago they didn't like us being on the street. So whenever I got locked up, I used to take my Brahman thread off. Sorry, your Pukka Vaishnavas. I used to take my Brahman thread off and tie lots of knots in it, 108 knots. Actually, you can do 54 and you have to. And I used to take the top of my, a little strip of cloth off the my top of my copin, and I used to make 108. And used to chant in the prison cell. So then you become extremely blissful, and you don't know why. You're not chanting any better than you normally do. But Krishna just, because he's a person, he gives you a special. So we have to understand that he's actually a person. He loves us. And whatever we do for him, he reciprocates. He sees everything. And if we really focus on that, whatever mistake we make in our life, he doesn't chastise us. Who chastises us when we make a mistake? Who chastises us? Huh? Our own minds. You're an idiot. You're a fool. Why did you do that? It's like the sticky bun story. Does anyone know the sticky bun story? So you're on Sankirtan. You've had a hard day. And the mind says, I could really do with a sticky bun. A sticky bun would be... Does anyone know what a sticky bun is here? You know what a sticky bun is. No? It's a bun in the West. It's like a bun with... And it's got icing, sweet icing on it. And it's very tasty. So it's a sticky bun. So you're in the shop. And the mind is taking you to the shop. And you're going to buy this sticky bun. And you know it's not the right thing to do. But your tongue is... So you queue, and as you get closer to the queue, you're getting more and more anxious. And then the lady behind the counter, she says, yes, and you go, sticky bun! And then you eat the sticky bun, you offer it, Shivishnu, Shivishnu, Shivishnu. So you make this ridiculous offering, and you think no one's watching you. You know, the Paramatma's not saying anything, you know, he's just taking a few minutes off. And he's not saying anything. So then you very nicely, delicately eat the sticky bun. And then the mind, the very mind that told you to eat the sticky bun, turns on you and says, you demon. That's not offered. It's cooked by karmas. You didn't even know if it had eggs in or not. You are not fit to be a Vaishnava. You should immediately leave the movement and just crawl in some small hole somewhere for the rest of your life. So it's ourselves. The point is, it's ourselves that chastise ourselves. Krishna loves us. Lord, what to speak of Krishna, who can be heavy, you know, he chopped off the washerman's head. Lord Chaitanya, who's just saying, take, 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 take. He's not judging at all. He's just saying, take, take. So do you think he's having a go at us? No, he's saying, just take. Oh, you fell down. Just like a mother. A mother, if a child falls down, he doesn't use stupid child for falling down. Immediately, oh, it's okay. It's okay, don't worry. And Krishna is... a million times more loving, unlimitedly more times than the most loving mother. Can you imagine that? Just meditate on it for a few seconds. The most kind-hearted mother who does everything for the child. Krishna is unlimitedly more kind than the kindest mother. So who is chastising us? Krishna? It's our own mind. So we make a mistake, we just get up and we keep trying. And the more mistakes we make, in one sense, the more we can help others. Because I made the same mistake, I did the same thing. I've had 6 sticky buns. I've had a lot more than that. No, I haven't. But then you can empathize with the person. So mistakes, we shouldn't take too seriously. Is that okay, Mataji? I guess not. So we've gone well over time, so I think we should stop there. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your very nice ears. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Radhanath Maharaj ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Haribo.